You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Nick Doherty.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as South Africa's Louis Westhuizen wins the ISPS Hand of Perth International at the Lake Karinyup Country Club.
That means a lot. It's been 2 years since I had a win last. I came close a few times last year. So, you know, you want to stay in the winning circle and you want to keep that feeling of what it feels like.
And we'll hear more from the former Open champion later in the show. Second in Australia was Frenchman Alex Levy, another who's playing his way back into form.
Fantastic day for me. I play really good golf. It's nice because a long time I don't finish in the top three in the tournament, and it's very cool. I'm really happy back in the business.
So we've a full review of the ISPS Hand of Perth International, and we'll look ahead to the next event on the Race to Dubai, the WGC Cadillac Championship. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by Nick Doherty. Nick, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Now then, we've got to kick off, of course, with the ISPS Hand of Perth International. And first and foremost, of course, you know well, fantastic track, great event.
It is a great event, but the main reason that the players love it is because of that golf course. It's a fantastic place to go and play. Conditions wonderful. It's a great place because you have to work your way around the golf course, hit it in the right places, and it's just a beautiful golf course, one of the best on tour.
An easy win in the end for Louis Westhuizen. He claimed an eighth European Tour title, to a certain extent a long time coming, because we've not seen him in the winner's enclosure for a couple of years, but we know what a quality performer he is. And in the end, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the final round in just a second, but in the end, it was a fairly comfortable success.
Yeah, he's a good front runner, and he's a guy that it was a long time coming by his standards. I mean, still just over 2 years. For most people, that's not particularly a long time, but we know how good Louis is, and we saw him play loads of great golf last year without getting that win. So I think it's a great thing for him, and winning is winning, and you know, you need to keep doing that to keep moving forwards, and it came at the right time from heading into this season.
You mentioned his experience, had a 3-shot lead overnight. He was briefly caught on the front nine, but when a player like Westhuizen gets caught, you always feel he can just up the gears a little bit, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you'd have moved some of the other players on the leaderboard, lesser known players, to his position, you'd have felt all the way through the final round that there's a chance they could slip up, because it's not easy leading a tournament. It's not easy getting over the line, especially if it's for the first time. Well, clearly it wasn't for Louis. And also his experience knowing not to flap, not to panic. He was an incredible performance tee to green that week, 17 out of 18 greens in the first three rounds. Then he missed the second and the third green at the start of his final round. That alone could have unsettled some players, but him plain sailing all the way through and stayed calm.
The man that did catch him during the opening nine was Jason Scrivener. Maybe to a certain extent, the pressure got to him, started to look at the leaderboard, then couldn't complete the job.
It didn't quite happen this time, but that means next time he gets in that position, he's got that a little bit added experience and he might be better able to cope with it.
Westhuizen managed to get back in front, put his tee shot on the par three to 7 feet to get to 16 under, to get to 2 shots in front. That became a 3-shot lead when Scrivener bogeyed the ninth. But Peter Uihlein, the American, then birdied that hole. Westhuizen's lead was down to 2 at the turn. And we've seen the American, of course, on the European Tour over the last few years. I thought there might be a charge from Peter at that stage, but that didn't come either, did it?
No, but that's one of the great things about this golf course is that you can push on it. But if you make any sort of error, you will drop shots. If you get on the wrong side of the hole around this golf course, or you attack a flag and you hit it in a short-sided bunker, you're going to battle to save par. And if you get too cute, you can make double in a heartbeat. So the great thing for Louis out there was that he could just play solid, and all of these chasing players, they needed to keep pushing the envelope. And if it all goes well, great, but inevitably there's going to be mistakes out there. And unfortunately for Peter, that's what came about.
We had challenges as well from Romain Wattel and Alexander Levy, two French players, and we know what Levy has achieved over the course of the last few years. He's had one or two issues off the course, but great to see them battle early season.
Certainly, and you know, the thing that he'll take most pride in is the 2 shots he hit on 18. He hit this great tee shot, whipped it round the corner on the last, and then the shot into the green, out of the rough, really tough back left flag, and he hit it to sort of 4 or 5 feet. It was an incredible shot, and as much as the result's fantastic, coming second is a great result for Alex, and it'll really help his confidence. The way in which he came second, hitting such a great shot under that pressure when he really needed to, that's the sort of stuff that carries you all the way through the season.
Good finishes from a clutch of players, but the winner was, of course, Louis Westhuizen. Let's hear from the ISPS Hand of Perth International 2016 champion.
That means a lot. It's been 2 years since I had a win last. I came close a few times last year. So, you know, you want to stay in the winning circle and you want to keep that feeling of what it feels like. So I started really nervous this morning. Didn't feel like I hit any bad shots, but I got the wind wrong on the second. Hit it 2 yards too far on the third, and it, you know, ended up going one over through three holes. So I needed to settle in, and then during the middle of the round, I played nicely. You can see someone going 4 or 5 under the front nine. So I knew I needed to play well. And when I got to the 15th, I knew just to hang in and give myself birdie putts and just keep on making pars should be fine. And left myself with a vicious first putt on the last hole, but I knew I had 3 putts. I think if I only had a 1-shot lead, I would have probably hit it in a different spot on the green, my second shot.
Not bad for a first visit to Australia, is it? And I think you've probably got some thanks to Ian Baker Finch, Ernie Els, amongst others.
Yeah, they told me I was going to love the golf course, and I do. I mean, it's such a great track, and it's one of my favourites, so I'll definitely be coming back here.
Well, you touched on this, but in this part of the world, this is known as a long gap between drinks. It's been an eventful time, hasn't it, over those 2 years?
2014 was still a bit struggling with a few things in my body, and 15 felt better than 14. But to get close is one thing, to win it is something else. So it doesn't matter how big the event is, victory is something that you can work from and really take to the next tournament and for the rest of the season.
Some interesting points there raised by Louis Westhuizen. Speaking to our very own Nick Dye, I was always interested to hear from him about his approach to the last there, because even a player like Westhuizen suggests that if he hadn't had that 3-shot lead, he might have played it completely differently.
Yeah, it's not easy winning. It's as simple as that. And, you know, unless you've got a whopper of a lead coming at the last, like 4 or 5 shots, then you can afford to do pretty much anything. But in his situation, he still needed to hit it in the right place. It's the sort of golf course where they can steal shots off you very easily. And, you know, I think for also someone like Louis, is a very aggressive player, to play defensively down the stretch, knowing that pars will get the job done, sometimes makes it almost more difficult because it's not easy playing defensively.
Well, it was his 8th European Tour victory, his first, as we've mentioned, for over 2 years. He's the 6th South African winner on the 2016 European Tour season to date, and regained sole possession of 4th spot on the list of South African winners on the European Tour, behind Ernie Els, 28 wins, Retief Goosen, 14, and Charles Schwartzel with 11. He moves to 19th in the official world golf ranking. Time to hear from some of the other contenders in Perth, starting with second-placed Alex Levy, who finished 1 shot behind the winner after a closing 66 that contained 8 birdies.
Fantastic day for me. I play a really good golf. I enjoyed a lot on the golf course. It's nice because a long time I don't finish in the top 3 in the tournament, and to finish in style like that, 5 under on the last 9 holes, and that's really cool, especially after my double bogey on 6. No, it's very cool. I'm really happy after when you struggle like during 8 months, and I practice hard and to back in the business.
Great to see Alex Levy back on a leaderboard. A last day 66. We know what a terrific player he is. Speaking to Rob Lee on the podcast over the course of the last year, he believes he's a player that can make that jump from good European player to world star. Has he got the game for it, do you think, to challenge in the majors and the WGC events?
I think when he's on, and when that win came down in Asia, he really showed that he knew how to get the job done in big circumstances. And he played with real flair. He plays without fear. And you always think some of the great players in the game, they manage to play without fear in the big circumstances. He did, but the only thing that hasn't been there for Alex is a bit of consistency. So if he can just start to pull it together a little bit more often, then yeah, don't doubt that he'll be there or thereabouts.
Well, we can now talk to the man who finished 3rd at the ISPS Handa Perth International on 14 under. 2 shots behind the winner, Louis Westhuizen. Jason Scrivener, welcome to the Race to Dubai show. Best finish on the European Tour, sealed, of course, Jason, with a birdie-birdie finish.
Yeah, bit of a surprise. 2 of the toughest holes on the course, so yeah, absolute bonus. Finished birdie-birdie.
3 early birdies helped you to catch him at the start of the round. How hard was it, or easy was it for you, just to stay in the right moment with your golf game at that stage? Was it easy to get ahead of yourself because, you know, looking to have that breakthrough win?
Yeah, I saw that I was tied for the lead through seven, and you know that kind of spurred me on a little bit. But I just made two soft bogeys on 9 and 10, and that kind of killed the momentum a bit, and it cost me in the end. So you know it was a great start and a good finish, but there was a couple of mistakes in there that cost me in the tournament. But all in all, it was a great week.
And you must have had huge support from the galleries because it's sort of your local track, isn't it?
Yeah, had some really good crowds out there all 4 days, and a lot of friends and family, so very, very fun week, and they're all cheering me on.
Well, it wasn't out of the blue either, was it? Let's be honest, because at the end of the year, last year, you did lose your car, but you need to finish third outright in Hong Kong. We actually finished tied third, so it shows you that you've got the game that it requires in the big moment. I mean, you can't get any more high pressure than that. Did that give you a lot of confidence going into the start of this season that you'd already done that and then obviously regained your card at the Q School?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I gained a lot of confidence, especially from Hong Kong. And just the way I finished the second half of the season, you know, it took me a bit of time to get used to Europe and the travel and all that sort of stuff. And once I got comfortable off the golf course and with everything else, I felt like I could just go out there and play golf. It's showing, you know, my results lately have been fairly solid. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. I'll play Thailand and then India, and then I have about a month off and have a good stretch, I think, hopefully in China and Morocco, and then head over to Europe. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy year, but looking forward to it.
Well, we wish you well, and we enjoyed your playing down in Perth. Hopefully we'll see you on the European Tour fairway soon. Jason, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. We'll speak again soon. Have a great 2016.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, tied fourth were Gregory Bourdie of France and also the American Peter Uihlein.
Top fives are always good, aren't they? You know, it's a bit bummed today. I didn't really hole enough putts and felt like I could have made a bunch. Didn't happen for me, but I think I was top 10 last year and top 5 this year, so hopefully next year we'll keep improving.
He's trying to stay positive there, Peter, and you can understand that. I know what you golfers are like. It's between the ears as well as how you play. But if you start 65, 68, you almost expect to win, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the balance of a bit of realism and accepting that you've not had a great finish. It's actually a disappointing finish, but you don't want to take away from the fact that you've played some great golf there, because why on earth would you want to take away from any of the confidence that you've rightly built up? A lot of last week was great stuff for Peter. He's desperate to keep winning more, though. Some of his best pals like Brooks Koepka going and killing it in America. He won't want to be left behind, so the wins are important.
I was about to mention Brooks because they sort of came up together and Peter came across and he got one or two stories initially because of his background maybe, but then Brooks kicked on and he's gone to the next level and Peter's been left behind a little bit maybe.
A little, and of course, you know, that win in Madeira is, it was great to get that win, but he needs to move on and win some bigger events. He's got a great golf game and no doubt that he will. Of course, people do things at a different pace. Brooks's rise to the top has been meteoric. I mean, so quick, but Peter's just taking his time a bit more. But in the end, 10 years from now, who'll be the better player? Hard to say.
Just a word on Gregory Bourdie, also tied fourth alongside Peter Uihlein. Fantastic finish, 65-66. My issue sometimes with Gregory is that he seems to do it at the end of tournaments, not maybe for the full four rounds, because he's a talented performer.
He is, and he seems to be there or thereabouts all the time. And one of the things I really admire about Gregory is consistency. He's always on the leaderboards. And, you know, that in itself, OK, maybe he hasn't got 15 wins to his name, but being there, contending every week, that's difficult to do, and it shows you how solid his golf game is.
Now, we need the top 10, Nick, from the 2016 ISPS Handa Perth International.
Well, it's quite a list because there was a six-way tie for ninth place, so we'll run you through those. First of all, the old boy, Peter Senior, climbing back in there. He's not done yet. Closing round of 71 for him. Julian Ken, Dave Lipsky, Mikko Kohonen as well, the Finn, Benjamin Hibbert and Magnus A. Carlsen rounding out those guys tied in that six-way tie for ninth. In eighth, Martin Mamat, former winner on the European Tour. Brett Rumford starting to play some great golf again. Seventh, Romain Vatel in sixth. Peter Uihlein, we talked about, tied with Gregory Bourdie in that fourth place. And then Jason Scrivener, what a great finish for him. Third place, Alex Levy in second. And we all know the guy on top, South African. Great win for Louis Westhuizen.
Now, the tips from last week, the two gentlemen that were sat in our seats, Robert Lee and Jamie Spence. Robert went for Richard Bland, who missed the cut by a shot. And Jamie Spence went for Lucas Bjerregaard, who also missed the cut by a shot. So again, they've done okay for those two, I would suggest.
Yeah, I think Rob's actually quite good. When you've done it for as long as he has, he's usually quite good at picking winners, but it didn't work out. You can see where he was going, Richard Bland, though. He's been playing some good golf recently.
By the way, look out for the new improved Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which will soon be live for my European Tour users. So keep checking europeantour.com for news on that. The first event you'll be able to earn points for will be the Masters, so we're not too far away. Let's see how the Race to Dubai standings read. Nick, you've got the top 10.
I have indeed. And, well, in 10th place, the Aussie PGA winner Nathan Holman hanging in there at that last spot in the top 10. Ben Ann is in 9th. Never get him off the leaderboards these days. And Louis, with that win, has moved up nicely to 8th position. So Louis Westay's in an 8th. Englishman Chris Wood in 7th. Marcus Fraser, recent winner as well, in 6th. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, a consistent performer again, in 5th. Charles Schwartzel, a lot of Africans around on this board of the top 10. He's in 4th. Danny Willett, after that great win in Dubai, in 3rd. Brandon Grace in 2nd. And the guy at the top, familiar name, Henrik Stenson the Swede, occupying that spot.
On the PGA Tour, Adam Scott won the Honda Classic by a shot after a duel with Spain's Sergio Garcia throughout the final round. It's Scott's first title since May 2014 and his first time winning with a conventional putter since the 2010 Singapore Open. Some great stories coming out of this event on the PGA Tour, Nick. Briefly, great to see Adam Scott back in the winner's enclosure and obviously not using the anchor putter anymore.
Yeah, and it's been a good couple of weeks for him because at Northern Trust Open week before, just missing out by a shot to Bubba Watson, played some great golf there, and there was lots of talk that week. I was out there working and you could see lots of talk about the conventional putter and how it was going to hold up. Well, he backed up with another great week and his putting has been phenomenal. You almost asked the question,
why did he change?
Exactly.
Sergio Garcia, should he have won, though? A couple of bogeys late on.
Yeah, Sergio is one of those guys, he puts himself in position a lot more than he wins, and he's won a lot of tournaments in his year, so it's not easy to criticise, but he just doesn't seem to get the job done as often as you feel he should do. Unfortunately, just missing out by a shot, and very often for Sergio, it's the putter that just doesn't quite hang in there on a Sunday.
Now, that result at the PGA National has had an effect on both the top 10 of the world rankings and also the European Ryder Cup lists, so we need some details from both.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at the world ranking first. And talking of Sergio Garcia, let's just see where that moved him. Even though he came second, he still moved up a mighty way from the 19th position to 12th. He is now just behind Brandon Grace in 11. And the actual top 10 reads American Patrick Reed in 10. Adam Scott moved up after that win to number 9. Good to see him back in the top 10 in the world where he belongs. Dustin Johnson in 8th and Justin Rose, the Englishman, in 7th. Seems to be there a lot at the moment. Hard to break into this top 6. It's the same people that have been there all the way through, it seems. Henrik Stenson in 6th, Ricky Fowler in 5th, Bubba after the win at the Northern Trust Open a couple of weeks ago, still in 4th place, and then Rory McIlroy number 3, Jason Day number 2, not a lot between those two players, but then there's that still a whopper of a gap between them, and Jordan Spieth in number 1.
What about the Ryder Cup rankings? We're starting to get a little more excited now. The season is getting into full swing. Obviously, we've got two different lists here. How do we rank up when it comes to the Europeans?
Yeah, well, we look at the Europeans. We go, first of all, from the European Ryder Cup rankings, the points list. We have the Rory McIlroy right at the top of that list. We'd expect him to be Andy Sullivan as well. A big total as well. About 100,000 points behind Rory in 2nd. Danny Willett and Matthew Fitzpatrick in that list, those four players coming from that list. So all looking very solid at the moment. And then you take the next five players from the world's points list. You have Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Torbjörn Olesen in there. Sergio is one of the guys that's moved into it off the back of this performance last week in the 8th position in that list, currently in the team. And the last man in at the moment would be Thomas Peters, the Belgian.
How much do players look at these European Ryder Cup rankings lists at this stage of the season?
I think if you ask them, they say never, but the reality is most days. I think it's one of those things, it's hard to avoid. Everyone's desperate to play in it, especially if you've not played in it before. But it doesn't help, you know, knowing where you are. You can only play each week, play as well as you can on each day. It's a bit of a cliche, but if you concentrate on just doing your job well week to week, you'll end up in that team. I had a case of Ryder Cupitis once, constantly watching the list, didn't end well.
Last week, there was a significant announcement by the European Challenge Tour from the forthcoming 2016 season. It is to allow amateur players to be included in the Road to Oman, which as a result will switch from a money list to a points list. Amateurs will also potentially be able to graduate to the European Tour, but then they must turn professional. Nick, it's hoped that this will help the transition of the most promising amateurs into the professional game. Is this something that you agree with?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great thing for the game. I think it's really positive. It's encouraging the youth to come through and be part of the tour eventually.
In other news, it's been confirmed that the 2016 Paul Laurie match play will now be played at the Archerfield Links in East Lothian. A new golf team championships will be part of a multi-sport European championships to be staged for the first time in August 2018. Golf, like aquatics, cycling, gymnastics, rowing and triathlon, will take place in Glasgow with Berlin hosting the Athletics. Meanwhile, the Notts Hollingwell course in Nottinghamshire, Prince's Golf Club in Kent, the Renaissance Club in East Lothian and St Anne's Old Links in Lancashire will be the final qualifying venues for the Open from 2018. The European Tour has launched a new travel club which offers golf fans the chance to combine holidays with once-in-a-lifetime rounds such as playing in a European Tour Pro-Am or taking on a full tournament course with Sunday pins on the Monday after an event has finished. And finally, some sad news. Brian Cash, the former chief executive of the Belfry, who oversaw three Ryder Cups in his role, has died. He was 87. Time to look ahead to the next events on the race to Dubai, the WGC Cadillac Championship at the Doral Country Club. The two most recent European Tour winners will both be in action, and we can hear from them now, starting with Marcus Fraser, whose Maybank Challenge Malaysia victory gained him entry into the Florida event.
I think I played it three times, the old layout at Doral, which, yeah, it's probably not my favourite golf course, not the longest hitter going around, so it will obviously be a tough week for me, but to go over there and mentally have the challenge of trying to play my way into the Masters is going to be pretty exciting. I've got a lot to play for over the next few weeks, so I'll go over there and see if I'm able to do that. I mean, realistically, it's not a tournament that I've really got probably a chance of winning unless I have about 90 putts for the week. It's going to be a tough one, but at the same time, it's any time you get to play at WGC, it's always good fun.
Well, that was Marcus Fraser, who spoke to us on last week's show. And Louis Westhuizen is also on his way to the United States, buoyed by his victory in Perth.
It'll give me a massive boost to go there and know that I'm hitting the ball well, but I am going to be a bit jet-lagged, I know that, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Would it be nice going back to a place where you finished top 10 last season?
Yeah, I like the golf course. It's always very windy, and I like playing in those conditions, so it will be a tough week. It's always a tough week, but looking forward to it.
The course has been toughened up recently for the 2014 renewal. It was always tough, but it was seemingly getting easier, at least the scores were getting lower. Nick, tell us about Doral.
Well, for me, it was all about one hole, about the 18th hole. The 18th hole was a cracking hole. It still is. It's virtually unchanged since Donald Trump has gone on to do what he has with the place. The rest of it was a bit bland, if I'm honest. Typical Florida resort course, very open, very user-friendly. Quite a scoreable golf course, relies on the wind to blow strong. With the change that's been made, there's a lot more water involved with it, a lot more undulation. It's much more challenging for the players. I think, in general, it's been a positive change. And it's a great event, though. All the WGCs are good fun, and it's in a very fun spot as well.
Judging by the last couple of winners, you've got to have a bit of length in your game as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's what most of the courses on the PGA Tour really suit the big hitters these days. But this one in particular, rough generally isn't quite as thick as we've seen at some of the other venues. But again, having control on your golf ball, being able to shape the golf ball is going to be important here, because you are going to be playing in windy conditions, and just hitting one shot around there won't always get the job done.
Dustin Johnson, of course, can hit it out there. He's the defending champion, and he's had a good start to this season, not a winning start, and you feel that maybe a win is just around the corner.
Yeah, well, Northern Trust Open again, he had a good chance to win there. He really came unstuck. The putter was really poor on the Sunday in particular, but for me, he's the guy that's going to be tough to beat this week. He is defending, makes a big difference, lifts the confidence. He knows his game's good shape. It's there or thereabouts. And he's been missing out recently. A lot of these top players around him are starting to play well, win tournaments, so he'll want to get involved. And for me, I think he's the guy to beat this week.
It's a major-esque field, as all WGC events are. All the top players are teeing up. Just rattle through some of the headline names for us, Nick.
Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson. Well, that's the top 8 players in the world rankings. They're all teeing it up there. And then all the way through as well, you've got people like Adam Scott there. Interesting to see some Englishmen, the likes of Danny Willett playing, Andy Sullivan, Paul Casey's going to be there. Everyone who is anyone plays in these events. Very few players choose to miss the World Golf Championships.
You mentioned those British players. Do they find it easier playing on Florida golf courses than maybe on the other side of America?
Possibly. The style of it, it's easier to understand. The greens are quite grainy, mind you, but playing in the windy conditions sounds a bit cliche, but the British players are more comfortable with that than the average players are. So I think what happened at Honda, we see it's always windy at Honda as well, where they've just been coming down there. Some of those British guys will start to feel a lot more comfortable, and especially playing with the sun on the back.
Who's going to win this week, Nick? We're allowing you two selections this week.
I think it's hard to look past Dustin Johnson. So I think as an American, he's going to be a great shout. And then from a British point of view, or European side, I think Andy Sullivan. I mean, I know it's a bit of a long shot, but he played quite nicely. Had a good finish at level par in that last round on a tough Sunday at the Honda. So a top finish there for him on the PGA Tour. Going there, feeling comfortable, big golf course, likes to work the ball, good in windy conditions. Could be his week.
Your selections are good. I wish you well. However, the winner will come from one of mine. I hope I'm going to pick one American, one European, as you've done. My American pick is Bubba Watson, who was second here a couple of campaigns ago and always seems to play well here, massive off the tee, and of course a winner this year already. And there seems to be a bit of a correlation between this event, or Doral as it has been recently, and the Masters. You play well, Doral, you seem to play well at the Masters. So for me, Bubba's going to be my main selection, and I'm going to take a bit of a flyer with the big-hitting Austrian Bernd Wiesberger for my European pick. I know he's not played particularly well recently, but if we delve into the archive and that near-ish miss in the USPGA a couple of years ago just proves that he can play American tracks. He's so big off the tee. Hopefully, he'll get inspired this week. And those are my two selections. And that rounds it up for today. Next week, we'll review the WGC Cadillac Championship and we'll look ahead to the True Thailand Classic. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But for now, from Nick Doherty, Nick, enjoyed your company.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.